الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا وسندنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليمًا كثيرًا كثيرًا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وإنك لعلى خلق عظيم. صدق الله مولانا العظيم، وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected elders and brothers, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الله سبحانه وتعالى the Quran Kareem mentions with regards Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and in fact addressing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and via his address to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam giving us as the ummatis of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a very important message. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addressing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. Verily, surely, you are well grounded and entrenched on an excellent standard of character. The ulama mention that the word ala in this ayah gives the meaning of tamakkun, to be very deep and thoroughly grounded in something. And here, what is being expressed is the high level and the sublime level of the character of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. For us ummatis, the message is very clear. We are, as ummatis of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, required to follow his sunnah. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبُكُمُ اللَّهِ. So a requirement of being an ummati of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is that we follow his sunnah. Now, this ayah opens our eyes towards a very important paradigm of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We are normally accustomed to learning about those sunan of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which are definitely very important and integral in a Muslim's life. Those sunan that govern our outward appearance, the way we dress, the way we keep a beard, etc. However, there's another very important aspect, another very important paradigm to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that is the sunnah of the inner self, the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the character of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the behavior of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the mannerisms of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the reason that I'm saying that this deals with the inner self is that ala khuluqin azim refers to that behavior, that excellent pedestal and noble pedestal of character that is obviously entrenched in the inner self. When a person's inner self is pure and tazkiyah is made, it is only then that the behavior of that person is actually pure and it actually fulfills the standard of excellent character. So in today's short meeting, I'd like to discuss one, or if we have time, maybe two sunnahs with regards the character of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam that we as ummatis should try and inculcate. The first sunnah is what the ulama term as hilm, or forbearance, patience. Hilm, in the terminology of the Quran and Sunnah, as explained by the ulama, refers to the quality of forbearance and patience such that a person is in a disposition that whenever he is angry, there is an occasion of anger. And here we are talking about anger which is justified. We are not talking about anger which is not justified. That is totally unacceptable. But here we are talking about where there is an occasion of anger. It is justified anger. It's not ill-induced, it's not ill-invoked, there's something that has occurred before a person which is against principle. But on these occasions as well, hilm and the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is to firstly not take revenge for your own sake, but if it is something with regards the huquq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you make sure that the huquq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are fulfilled. And the way that a person expresses himself at the time of anger should be such that he is in control of his emotions, and his emotions do not control him. His reactions are within his control. And it's not that a person becomes overwhelmed by anger such that he is not able to control how he reacts to that anger. This is the sunnah of hilm. And it has been praised in the Quran-e-Kareem. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praising the muttaqeen says in the Quran al-Kareem, والكاظمين الغيظ والعافين عن الناس, those who control their anger. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't say والعادمين الغيظ, those who totally annihilate their anger. No. Anger is a natural characteristic, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created it within our nature, but to be used at the right occasion and within the correct parameters. So the muttaqeen are those wal-kaazimeen al-ghayz, who control their anger, who do not become overcome by anger. They are able to control their reaction to anger. وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ, and those who forgive people. These are the qualities of the muttaqeen. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in a hadith reported in the Sahihain, mentions, لَيْسَ الشَّدِيدُ بِالصُّرَعَةِ. In the terminology of the Quran and Sunnah, in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is a strong person? Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam defines a strong person. And he says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that a strong person is not the person who powers his opponent in a physical encounter. In wrestling or in any other physical encounter. If a person is able to overpower his opponent in a physical encounter, that is not the strength that is necessarily in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّمَا الشَّدِيدُ الَّذِي يَمْلِكُ نَفْسَهُ عِنْدَ الْغَضَبِ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, the strong person is the person who is able to control himself, he's able to control his reactions at the time of anger. He doesn't become overwhelmed by anger. From the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there are many incidents which we learn the sifa of hilm from. One of the greatest incidents of this nature is the incident of Fathu Makkah, the conquest of Makkah, wherein Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes a general announcement of forgiveness for those who were thirsty for his blood, wal-iyadu billah, and the blood of his sahaba ikram. And what does he say? Antum at-tulaqa. You are free. La tathriba alaykum al-yawm. And by and large, there was very, very little bloodshed at that occasion. Whereas, if we look at it, it was the time when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could rightfully have taken revenge for all the zulm that was done. But this is hilm. This is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this of hilm from a conqueror is very, very unique. The annals of history fail to provide an example of this type of forbearance. Another very interesting incident in which I wish to go into some detail from the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with regards forbearance is reported in Sunan Ibn Majah in summarized form. It's reported in Sahih Ibn Hibban and Mustadrak Hakim in some detail. There is some academic discussion on a certain rawi in this riwayat. However, generally, there is a portion of this hadith that the fuqaha have accepted. And my Shaykh and Ustad, Hazrat Wala, Hazrat Murana Mufti Muhammad Taqi Uthmani Sahab Damat Barakatum, has mentioned this incident in his authorship. He's mentioned it in his discourses as well. For our purposes, it's a reliable hadith. And for the lesson that we need to take from this hadith, it's a reliable hadith. The gist of the incident is that once a sahabi came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam concerned about his tribe. He mentioned to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that I had conveyed the message of Islam to my tribe, and I had promised that inshallah if they accept Islam, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant them rizq in abundance. They will be showered with sustenance. However, as a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they've accepted Islam and now there is a drought in our area and even their daily needs are not being fulfilled. So if Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam deems appropriate, maybe we could give them some assistance, financial assistance, and inshallah their needs would be fulfilled and it would be a means of strengthening their iman as well. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself, not having anything to offer, turned to Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an and asked if there was anything in the Baytul Mal. And it so happened that the Baytul Mal also didn't have sufficient means to fulfill this need. So close by, there was a Jewish person standing and witnessing this incident unfold. He comes up to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and says that I would purchase the dates of such and such orchard which belonged to a certain tribe in advance. This is termed in the fuqaha's terminology as a salam transaction. In other words, he would pay the price up front and take the dates on a certain due date. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam accepted the transaction and said, okay, but not from the orchard of a certain tribe, because this type of restriction in a salam transaction is not allowed. And this is where the fuqaha actually get this hukam from this hadith. But we would give you the dates that you require of that quality, and at the due date, and you have to pay the price up front. So this Jewish person accepted. He gave the price up front, which was a reasonable amount of money. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave this on behalf of the Baytul Mal to that Sahabi and said, fulfill the needs of your tribe with this amount of wealth. Thereafter, when it was just about the time to deliver the dates, in the riwayat it comes, it was about 3 days prior to the due date to deliver the dates. This Jewish person, he comes up to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is with the Sahaba ikram, and in fact with Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an as well. And this Jewish person, he holds Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam by his garment, and he says very nasty things to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, demanding that his dates be delivered to him. And he goes on to say that, wal'ayadu billah, you, the family of Abdul Muttalib, are defaulters, willful defaulters. Whereas history bears testimony to the contrary, that it was an incorrect, a totally baseless accusation. So firstly, the time of payment hadn't yet come, 3 days before. And secondly, he is treating Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this very nasty way. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an could not tolerate this, obviously. And he says, oh enemy of Allah, you know, what are you doing? How do you speak to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this manner? And Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an rebuked him. He shouted him. Now, here is the lesson to take. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam turns to Hazrat Umar radiallahu an, smiling, and says, oh Umar, we were in need of better than that. I was in need of you advising me to fulfill my dues in a better way, in a good way. And he was in need of being advised to ask for his dues in a better way. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam told Hazrat Umar radiallahu an, now go and give him the quantity of dates that was agreed, and increase that quantity by 20 measures, 20 sa'. In Liu approached him. Why did you shout him? So Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, he goes, he arranges the dates and he arranges 20 measures more, and he delivers it to this Jewish person. The Jewish person asks, what's this excess? Why are you giving me extra? And he says, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do this because I spoke to you in that manner. So then the Jewish person says, oh Umar, do you know who I am? So Hazrat Umar says, I know, I don't know. So he says, I am Zayd ibn Sa'na. Zayd ibn Sa'na was a very prominent Jewish rabbi of the time and regarded as a very, very knowledgeable rabbi. So Hazrat Umar, astonishingly, asked that, are you that famous rabbi and that famous alim of the Yahud? So he says, yes. So Hazrat Umar said, then why did you treat Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this way? So the rabbi says that I had seen all the signs that were mentioned in the Torah manifested in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There were two signs that were left, and I wished to see those being manifested. Those two signs were that when a person deals with Rasulullah sallallahu, I'm just giving the gist, in an inappropriate way, then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam expresses forbearance. And the second sign was that the more a person increases in dealing in such an inappropriate way, the more Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forbearance increases. These were two signs that were mentioned in the Torah, and now I've witnessed them, and now I bear witness before you that I accept ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah, and that half my wealth is a sadaqah for the Muslims. And then he comes into the audience of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he pronounces the shahada. And then he stays with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He fights in the battles with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam until he passes away on the occasion of Tabuk. So this is Hazrat Zayd ibn Sa'na radiallahu ta'ala an. And the extreme and the most noble and sublime level of forbearance, and the result of that forbearance that we witness in this incident. The Quran Kareem, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, idfa' billati hiya ahsan fa idha alladhi baynaka wa baynahu adawa ka annahu waliyun hamim. Repel evil with what is not just hasan, with what is best. Repel evil with what is best. And then you would see that even a person with whom you have enmity, he would become a very close and true friend of yours. كَأَنَّهُ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا يُلَقَّاهَا إِلَّا الَّذِينَ صَبَرُوا وَمَا يُلَقَّاهَا إِلَّا ذُو حَظٍ عَظِيمٍ. It requires a great amount of forbearance. It requires a lot of sabr. And it requires the skill of sabr. It requires that a person becomes accustomed to, acquainted with, and he becomes habitual of controlling himself. Right? Just like any other skill requires some effort, this skill also requires effort. It requires deliberate effort. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us this sifat of hilm, a great sifat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And just to end off our akabir, and in fact it comes even in the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, have given a few prescriptions on how we can inculcate this sifat and this quality of hilm in us. So firstly, as it comes in the Hadith Sharif, that when there is an occasion of anger, then a person should not react immediately. He should either move away from that place, right? Drink water, make wudu. If he is standing, then he should sit down. If he is sitting, he should lie down. In other words, take himself further away from any reaction that would be uncontrolled. Right? So that's the first thing that a person can do. And it comes in the Hadith Sharif that a person should adopt these measures. Secondly, the great scholar and the great master of the inner self, Hakimul Ummat, Hazrat Wana Ashraf Ali Sahib Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali, he suggests this prescription, is that when there's an occasion of anger, and obviously we're talking about anger that is justified, right? There is an occasion where somebody below us, somebody in our subordinates, our child or student, or somebody has done something that is against principle, and we're now overcome by anger. How do we maintain this balance? That we show forbearance, and then we also, reproach in a way that is beneficial and constructive. Because that's also an amana. You have to teach a lesson. But you don't have to vent your anger to teach that lesson. So Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Ali suggests that when a person is overcome by anger and he's in the rage of anger, he's in the flame, he says, Jab ghusse ka ishti'al ho, right? At the time of when anger is at its peak, at that time a person shouldn't react. At that time a person should take himself away from that occasion. And then when he calms down, right, at that time if need be, then artificially create some anger in your tone and reproach the person that needs to be reproached, but within bounds and within the parameters of Sharia. And a third prescription is that we should, when we begin our day, we must make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, Ya Allah, I am beginning my day. Allow this day to be in accordance with the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The sunnah encompassing both our zahir, our outward, as well as our inward. These sifat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, like hilm, etc. Oh Allah, grant me the tawfiq of inculcating these sifat as well. Inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cause us to follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by making these few adjustments in our lives, which don't take more than a few minutes. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant me and grant all of us the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.